Thank you, Joyce, for the music, and Penny for all those lovely flowers blowing in the breeze. Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Unity Center for Positive Living. I'm Susan, and this morning we're going to begin with the daily word, which for today is divine order. The affirmation is, divine order supports my life. Divine order is one of the great truths of life. It provides a foundation for all growth and a blueprint for all manifestation. Feeling stuck or bewildered is a sign that I am out of step with divine order. I pause, and with compassion for myself, I release thoughts of worry, impatience, and doubt. I remind myself of times when I wondered whether a hoped-for result would ever happen, only to realize in hindsight that foundational aspects had to be in place first. Remembering this helps me to be patient and trusting now. I affirm, I cooperate with divine order. It is established in my life now. I listen with mind and heart, trusting that I will discern my path one step at a time. And from Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own insight. And we will sing our first song, Surely the Presence, and Joyce will help us with that. Thank you. And now we will say our opening statement. There is only one presence and one power, active as the universe and as my life, God the good. Our welcoming song today is Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. Thanks, Joyce. And you'll be happy to know that all the voices, the mouths were moving. So we got right into your enthusiastic song. So it's time for us to greet our neighbors. If you are not on gallery view, you could do that so you could see everybody and give them your good morning hellos. And it's time for our announcements. So today is the fourth week, and it is the week of the medicine wheel at Grandfather's at Bear Raven at 2 o'clock. It's also the week of Circle in America, which happens on Zoom at 3 o'clock. And the information for that is in the email that Irene sent out a couple days ago. So you can refer to that. If you're not signed up, it tells you exactly how to do that. Does anyone have any additional announcements? Okay, seeing none, I will assume that's a no. And we will move on to our unity statement. And if you would join me in that, we will say together, we believe in our oneness with all life and the power of love. We teach universal principles and values as taught by Jesus and others, revealing the one God presence. We practice prayer, meditation, and service to be conscious of our oneness in God. And keeping with the chariot theme, our song of joy today is Swing Down Chariot. Yahoo, rock me, Lord. That was awesome. So has Hallie arrived? Yes, yay, bravo. Okay, our reading today will be given by Hallie. So welcome, Hallie. Thank you.
The reading today I picked from a very old booklet from Unity. It's called The Truth About Health. A Spiritual Perspective for Today. That's the name of the booklet. And the reading that I picked is called Body Language: How to Hear the Messages from Your Inner Guidance System by Christine Northup. And one reason I picked this reading, just a little bit I wanted to say, is that I know that I have been going through some medical issues, and I know that all of us from time to time do. And when I read this, it reminds me to put it all in God's hands and to not be obsessing about what is wrong with my body. I need to let go and remember I'm not the one that is doing anything other than maybe making it worse, my own health. So maybe you'll pick up some different concepts from this reading. Learning to listen to and respect your body is a process that requires patience and compassion. You can begin this process by paying attention to your body as you practice the following steps. Go slowly and come back to it as needed. Make note of those things in your life that are difficult, painful, joyful, and the like. As these things come up, notice your breathing, your heart rate, and your bodily sensations. What are they? Where are they? Pay attention to what your body feels like. Do certain parts of you feel numb, maybe tired? Do you feel like crying? These feelings are your body's wisdom. They are part of your inner guidance system. When you experience a bodily sensation such as back pain, a gut reaction, a headache or abdominal pain, pay attention to it. Are emotions such as anger or fear connected with certain parts of your body? When a sensation arises in your body, stop what you are doing. Lie down, breathe, and wait with your symptom, emotion, or your feeling. You may be surprised at what other feelings or insights come up. Notice how you routinely talk to your body. What happens when you look in the mirror each morning? Do you happen to criticize your face, your legs, your hair? Do you routinely apologize to others for how you look? Or do you give your body positive messages, such as, thank you very much for digesting last night's dinner without any conscious input from me? Cultivate the link between your mouth and your ear and the rest of you so that you get used to hearing yourself. Understand that your health is at risk if you're constantly undermining certain parts or functions of your body. If someone at work has a cold, you'll automatically undermine your body's ability to stay healthy by obsessing about how many germs you've been exposed to. Instead, say to your body, don't worry, body. I know that you have the ability to stay healthy when I nourish you and rest you optimally. You can learn to accept your body unconditionally right now, regardless of where you are starting. Stand in front of a mirror regularly and thank your body for all it has done for you. Notice what comes up when you do this. Write the following sentence down on a piece of paper and tape it to the mirror. I accept myself unconditionally right now. I often write it on a prescription blank and hand it to my patient with the following instructions. Say this sentence out loud to yourself in the mirror while gazing into your eyes, and do this twice a day for 30 days. Remember always that 90% of your bodily functions take place without your conscious input. Who keeps your heart beating? Who metabolizes your food? Who heals your skin when you cut yourself? Who tells your ears to listen to beautiful music? Acknowledge that your body is a miracle.
Thank you, Hallie. That's good wisdom for all of us. And it's time for our meditation song, which today is Quietly. That was a perfect complement to the reading. Thank you, Joyce. And it is time for our affirmations. If you would join me, please, in saying the affirmations. I am the love of God in expression. I am truly thankful for all the good I already experience. I am growing more prosperous with every day. I am healthy, active, whole, and happy. I am always growing and expanding into the fulfillment of my potential. I am at peace, knowing that everything I need comes to me in the perfect time and the perfect way. And we will say the Progressive Lord's Prayer together, followed by the Alleluia. Our Creator, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, I am. I am thy kingdom come, I am thy will being done. I am on earth, even as I am in heaven. I am giving this day daily bread to all. I am forgiving all life, even as I am also all life forgiving me. I am leading all people from temptation. I am delivering all people from error. I am the kingdom, I am the power, and I am the glory of God in eternal, immortal manifestation. All this I am. Amen. Some of you will recognize that this is the fourth Sunday and you don't see Eileen here. And that is because this is her moving day. And if you were feeling strong and had an hour or two, maybe you could check in with her and help her out this afternoon. But we had John Wingfield graciously offer to come and speak for us today. And today, Reverend John Wingfield is going to speak with the topic or title of Just Us. So welcome, John. We always love it when you're here.
Thank you. It's good to be here. I love being with you guys. And I'm looking forward to when we can be together, not just in spirit and in Zoom land, but in real physical space-time kind of continuity. It's great to be alive. But I love it. This, we have people in Arizona and North Carolina that can be with us. I love that. It's wonderful. So, my friends, so let me just tell you a couple stories today. One of them was you probably read it, or perhaps about 2,500 years ago, there was a kingdom that extended from India to Ethiopia. And the ruler of that kingdom had, he was basically, I think, based in Persia. Let's see, what was his name? I always think of his name as obnoxious, but Akhshirash. He banished his queen because she did not obey him. Now, how do you think about that? Huh? He banished her. And because of that, he needed to find a new queen. And he looked at the harem, and the favorite virgin in the harem became his queen. Her name was Hadassah. We know her as Esther, And you can read the story. You can find it in the Bible on page 549. So if you want to read along as I tell this story, open your book to 549. Well, at least that's in my copy, one of my copies of the Bible. What happened was she had an uncle by the name of Mordecai, who was very favored and a very elderly statesman. They were part of the Jewish, when they were exiled to Babylon. And remember the story, in other books of the Bible, the story how Nebuchadnezzar went in and defeated the people of Israel and took the elite people of Jerusalem, and that would be the intelligent people, the intelligentsia of the upper class rulers and Pharisees and Sadducees and so forth, and that higher class people and more prone to leadership and so forth. So Mordecai was among them, and his niece was Esther. And she became the queen, and he was in favor at the time. But all of a sudden, something happened where Haram, who was the second in command with the king, he wanted to establish himself and gain a lot of power. So he made everyone bow to him. But Mordecai refused to bow because it was against his people's way. You don't bow to any human being. And so Mordecai then became a problem. And so Haram went to the king and said, I need to eliminate, we need to cleanse our kingdom of these people. They don't bow to us. They don't bow to us. They don't give us obeyance. And so the king said, sure. Well, about that time, Mordecai heard some talk among the house guards, among some of the personal servants of the king, that were going to assassinate him. And so he told Esther, Esther told the king, and they took care of that, and the king was saved, and Esther got a favor. She said, the king told her she could do whatever she wants. She'd get her wish. So her wish was for her people to be spared and for them to be given a chance. And so that meant that Mordecai was off the hook, as it were. And he was able to mobilize the Jewish people, so they were able to gather enough swords and sabers and defend themselves and ward off the cleansing that was about to happen, that was happening. And she went on and remained the queen of that kingdom for her days. Now, remember St. Patrick's Day? It was just a couple weeks ago, the 17th. That day also corresponded to Purim in the Jewish calendar. And Purim is the holiday I was just talking about. It's the holiday of remembering when Esther saved the Jewish people 2,500 years ago. And it has been very, very poignant for the Jewish people here in Washington, as well as in Ukraine, because what has been happening, this war that has been the invasion of Ukraine, happened because, why? Because the president, Zelensky, who happens to be Jewish, he did not bow down to the king, Putin, and he didn't give obeisance to the king. He didn't go along with all the demands. And the former president of Ukraine had bowed. And in fact, so did the former president of the United States had bowed to that haram, as it were. And so the invasion is a big threat to Jewish people all around the world. So it became a very poignant time, very significant, I think, for all of us that this war unfolding is an attack on the freedom of all people, not just Jewish people, but all people of faith. And the irony is that it's been happening between two countries that are predominantly Orthodox Christian countries. Russia and Ukraine are both Orthodox countries and have dominance of that. Just a remarkable thing happening in our time, just so immediately happening. Have you talked about this, by the way? Has a previous minister or speaker spoken? Okay, it won't be all about this, but let me just bear with me. That's the first story that I think it really does. Really does. We're seeing amazing things happening, though, because what's happening to me that's so exciting is we are not joining in the fight. We are not taking it upon ourselves to go in and be you know, stand up for good. But we are doing all we can with nonviolent methods or measures and economic measures and so forth to enable the people of Ukraine to survive the onslaught and the invasion. And the amazing thing is there is a foreign legion that has been developing of volunteers from around the world, from the United States, as well as other countries that have been helping to the best of their ability. I read the story last weekend of some retired Marines who there were three Marines retired, and they had been in medical service of the Marines, and they had to take early retirement because of medical issues. But they took their own vacation time and went to Romania. And in Romania, they were able to purchase and gather a bunch of medical supplies and cross into Ukraine. Once they got into Ukraine, they were able to train volunteer people in their own self-defense and militia. They were able to train them in like how to dress a wound, how to use a tourniquet properly, and how to, in other words, how to do basic triage like a MASH unit would not only in a battlefield, but in the cities where so much destruction is happening. I mean, you and I have been waking up to sunshine or the sound of rain while people elsewhere, not only in Ukraine, but in Ethiopia and Sudan and so many other places have been waking up to the sound of bullets and bombs and mortars and rockets and so many destructive things happening. So we have this upon us of ways, and also there are units of medical personnel, like doctors that have been going there to help out, which is remarkable. I just find the whole thing so encouraging that we can find a way to do this. The last permanent church I served in, we had a licensed teacher, just a wonderful man, Einar, who was Norwegian by descent. His name, Einar. But Einar Denstadt was a licensed Unity teacher, and so was his wife, Margaret. He was from London. He had been born in Norway, but grew up in London. And when he was a kid, the Blitz began. He couldn't join the British Army or the Royal Navy because he was too young. But when he turned 17, the Blitzkrieg was still happening. And so he became a part of the national home front. And his duty was to go up onto the rooftop in London, rooftops of London after a rocket attack, a Blitz attack, and scrape off and throw off all of the material, the burning material, the metals and the shards of rocket material that were left. So the buildings didn't burn. That was his service to the people and his nonviolent participation of defense. I personally am against war. I think it should be banned. I think we should be way beyond that, but I'm not against defending yourself. I'm not against defending your family and your people. And I think that's what's at stake now. We have a wonderful opportunity to prove how that can work. But it takes much more work to work for peace than it does to just react out of violence and destruction and attack. A good example of that was the other day, my wife Jane and I went to Tacoma because just before that, we learned that Father Greg Boyle was speaking at Bellarmine High School. Now, I've spoken of Father Boyle before. You may perhaps know who he is. He is a Jesuit priest who over 30 years ago started Homeboy Industries, down in East Los Angeles. And that's a program designed and serving the recovery of gang members, violent gang members in the Los Angeles County. And it's been the most successful. They have helped to help thousands of people, men and women, although he said 97% are men in gangs, who are constantly fighting and killing each other. And so it was interesting because he went and to Bellarmine to speak and during their Justice Week at the school. And he brought a couple of homies with him. And I had the opportunity to meet one of them before they gave their talks. And the way it works is they come and sit on the stage. I think it started at 7 o'clock in the evening. And then one of the homies gets up and tells his story. And you know the term homie? I you know, we're basically all white people. It means those the guys, it's part of the gang, you know, it's part of the people in that whole milieu. And so one of them got up, Jawan, and gave his talk, and his was profound. It's my mouth was wide open, because he was talking about having grown up with his mother. His dad was not there. There was no dad in his life. And his mom worked two jobs, and they lived in Boyle Heights, one of the projects. And when he was old enough, he went on his own, and which meant he was living in a car, finding a car or some other shelter to sleep in at night and trying to go to school, but finally joined a gang. And that didn't last too long because he was incarcerated. And he got out and he was back in the gangbanger life, and then he was incarcerated again. But then he found his way to Homeboy Industries, and Homeboy is a program that, first of all, no drugs. They do drug testing all the time. And they teach anger management. They teach skills for people to get a job, because they have a theory that nothing stops a bullet like a job, which I like that saying a lot. You know, people who get jobs and get to work and start making something with their life, they don't need that anymore, and they have a purpose. And so now he's going to college, working to get a degree, and he'll be supporting his family in very creative ways. The other speaker, Jose, Hispanic, he was talking about his father and his grandfather before him were gangbangers. And his dad started teaching him that way of life when he was 4 years old. He started beating him up. And he beat him up until the day he left home, finally, as a teenager. And soon he found himself in the gang. And then he was incarcerated. The same process. They get into the gang life and they're arrested and they're incarcerated. And after a while he went, I'm tired of this. And so he found his way to Homeboy, and now he is a productive citizen doing the process, the program. And I think we all need a program. And I think it's real important to find that we have a way to find belonging. I think that's what gangs give people, young people. It's hard for me to understand sometimes, but the need for belonging to a community. And what he found was, what Jose said, was those that he saw were his friends when he was in prison were not his friends at all. Nobody was his friend. So it became a real thing, real difficult thing, but he found his way out of that into a recovery program called Homeboy Industries. So then Father Boyle got up to speak, and they call him Pops. He's about my age, about in his mid-70s, and he's a wonderful guy. He's spoken at Unity Conference a few years ago and is a real friend of ours. But his whole premise is action. It's not about metaphysics. It's not about theology. It's not about dogma. It's about living your truth. It's about giving full expression to who you are as a child of God and standing, as he puts it so clearly, standing in awe of those people, of the weight that they have to carry to make it through life, not standing in judgment and condemnation. Do you understand what that means? Because it's so easy to step into judgment and step into being condemning of other people if they don't fit into our ideas or our framework of what life should be like or what society, how we should operate and how we must conduct ourselves. Father Greg, he really personifies that. Just putting into action how you can give the tenderness. I had just finished reading his book, by the way, his last book called Whole Language, Radical Tenderness, which is what it's about. It's standing with people in love and tenderness, kindness, and manifesting that continually rather than judgment and criticism and condemning. Those songs that we sang, you know, Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, and the one related to that were so fitting. And as we were singing that, I kept thinking, wow, my talk is all wrong. I should be doing a real brimstone kind of preaching, you know, getting in the spirit of things and all that. But that's not what I'm about, really. That's not my way. My way is sharing ideas and examples of what I think is really important in helping us make our way through life. As we look around, I look outside here, you look outside where you are, see flowers, you see bushes and trees blooming and birds and all the wonderful things of springtime, and that's happening around us and within us. And 3 months ago, 4 months ago, 4 to 3 months ago, we were singing songs of praise. The Lord is coming. The Lord has come. And now people will be sharing in the joy of living because Jesus has been born. And now in 3 weeks, we'll be singing, Alleluia, Jesus has risen. But in between all of that, what can we do? And what is really going on in our lives? I'm not just talking about what happened in Ukraine or what's going on in other countries or other cities, but what's happening in our lives? What really makes a difference? Jane and I have been working with a course in nonviolent communication called Compassion with Tom Bond. If you're familiar with NBC and nonviolent communication program. And it teaches some basic ideas. One of them is that everyone operates based on their needs, what they need and their needs to be met, needs to be fulfilled. And how we do that is our strategy to meet those needs. And we can spend a lot of time wondering how or what Putin's needs are for Ukraine or what Father Boyle's needs are for East LA or gangbangers or what other people's needs are. But what are our basic needs and what are our strategies to fulfill those needs becomes a very important thing. For us in finding our way through life, successfully and in a way that makes a difference. And so let me share an example I had. I had several years ago, 18, 19 years ago, I was an interim minister and the Unity Church, Unity of Hawaii, asked their minister to leave and they asked me to come and be their interim minister. So I begrudgingly went to Hawaii. Just kidding. And the job of an interim minister is to basically get at the helm of the ship or the boat and steer the boat to the next port of call so they don't run aground and they don't run into the shoals or the, the coral reefs. The beautiful coral reefs around the island, right? And that was my job. And things, I went in April, I was there, like my first Sunday was Good Friday of 2003. And things were going really well for the first 5 months, or so I thought. But then I started hearing rumors or getting kind of these kind of feelings. I pick things up on a feeling level. I don't see psychic phenomena and stuff like that, but I get feelings. And so I had a meeting in September of 03 with two kahunas. These kahunas, do you know kahuna? You've heard the term kahuna, right? The mighty kahuna, the big kahuna and all that. The kahuna is like grandfather, Roy. He's a kahuna. It's like a spiritual leader who gives insight and uses their traditional wisdom as well as the intuitive wisdom to help deal with what's going on. So we told the story. This couple, by the way, had worked in the White House during the Carter administration, working to get civil rights for indigenous peoples in the United States. But when Carter left, they had to leave too. They were told right away by George H.W. Bush, their time is up, go home. So they came back to Hawaii they were telling me that after listening to what we discussed with them, what was going on, they said, okay, this is what we do. Take tea leaves and hang tea leaves at the entrance of every portal where people can come onto the campus of Unity. I mean, Unity in Honolulu has a beautiful campus right on the slopes of Diamond Head. In fact, you can look out from the sanctuary right up on Diamond Head, an old, ancient dormant volcano. At least I hope it's still dormant. So I did that. Now, tea leaf, I'm not talking about the kind of tea you drink. You know, a tea is a plant in Hawaii and in the South Seas that is used for ceremony and various other things. They even use them for wrapping food when they're preparing some foods. So I did that for 3 days. And then per instruction, I took at the end of the 3 days at nighttime, I went down to the ocean, which was only a few blocks away, and went out, walked out on a rock pier. And I picked up three pumice stone rocks and wrapped the tea leaves around those rocks and threw them in the water, in the ocean. The idea was they would absorb all the evil spirits, right? And they would be cast into the ocean. Well, what I found actually, after that, we had a series of programs for about 5 or 6 weeks, Sunday afternoons, that we called the Aloha Program, in which this couple, these kahunas, their nephew was Kawila, was a member of our church. He was coming to church every Sunday with his family. He was a tall, gorgeous looking Hawaiian with long braided ponytail and his wife and three sons, and they looked just like him, little miniatures of Kawila. And their wife, their mother, was this blonde from Iowa, blonde woman from Iowa. But they were a delightful family, and we became good friends in that time while I was there. And Kawila led us in a program of Aloha teachings, which was the spiritual teachings of Hawaiian tradition. And it was wonderful. We did all kinds of wonderful things. But then around Christmas, after that was over, started feeling those vibrations again, like we're heading toward the rocks, you know, heading toward the coral reef again. And so, are you still with me? I know this is a long story, but it illustrates a point I think is real important about nonviolent resolution. What I found out from Kawila was that the process for healing in Hawaiian tradition is called Ho'oponopono. Have you heard about Ho'oponopono? Do you know about that? Two people. Ho'oponopono is a process very similar to what happens here in the mainland with indigenous people, where they get together in the longhouse, or not in Hawaii, it's not called a longhouse, it's a temple or something. And they talk. They have a guide, one person, one of a kahuna who would be the guide or take them through this, but they give everyone the chance to speak, to say what they need, and to speak what they need to speak, to talk about. And then they come to a conclusion, and they all find consensus. That is, they all have to agree. If one person doesn't agree, they are out. They are out of the community. They can no longer participate in the community. So I talked to the board president, vice president, and a couple others about this, and we had a meeting with what was happening was there were people on the staff that were spreading rumors about things I had said or done that they found unacceptable. And so I got together with them and the board members, and we offered to do a Ho'oponopono. And one or two people in that group refused to do that because they knew they would be out. So after that, I talked to the board members and said, well, what do we do? And they said, well, first of all, I had said, okay, I'll go home before Christmas. I said, I'm done here. I don't need to be in conflict. I didn't come for conflict. I came to avoid that. Not about me. I'll go home. They said, no way. You're not going home. We're almost finished with this process. We almost have our candidates in line starting in late January to interview for the position of Unity of Hawaii. And this is a place where we had 500 or 600 people coming on a Sunday. We had three services going, and it was just a rocking place. It was great fun. I enjoyed it a lot. So we had the meeting, and they declined. And so the board members just said, those people who declined, that we'll just have to let them go. And so they did. We did. And then in March, which was 2004, so 18 years ago, they had the annual meeting, and the rumor was that at the annual meeting that some of those board members or those staff members rather that had been problematic were going to show up and cause problems again. Well, I was looking for that. We were kind of on the watch, just alert, and they came and sat. At least one of them did. The one who really was the center of all the conspiracy, all the rumors that were going on. But nothing was said. Nothing was done. And they went through the procedure, and by the middle of April, they had the new minister, and I was able to leave and come home, and I was happy to do that. But what I found out then was that the board president was a CPA, certified public accountant, and took it upon herself to take the books, because the person in the middle of all the rumors and the conspiracy going on was the bookkeeper, and part-time bookkeeper. And so when the board president went into the office, in the bookkeeper's office, to sort things out, found complete chaos, that there were bills, there were invoices that were in drawers, and things that were not being attended to, that all of the financial statements we had received for months at board meetings and finance committee meetings were only partial reporting and accounting of what was really going on and what should really happen. So it was really chaos. So it gave me the opportunity to think about that what does a person need who starts those kind of rumors and kind of conspiracy? Well, they need a sense of belonging, and they need a sense of security. In that case, it was job security. And what is the strategy they used? It was diversion, a diversionary tactic. Does that sound familiar? Diversionary tactic used to distract away from the problems that I am dealing with in order to focus people's attention on what will kind of stand in for it, as it were. So as it turned out, it worked out just fine, because they got the books in order, and they got a new minister, and I got on with my life too. And it was a good learning. It was a good lesson of how we can do this. It's springtime, and it's time for us to tend the gardens. But tending garden means not just enjoying the way life grows in the garden, but it also means pulling weeds. It means nurturing what can grow and pulling the weeds that might rob those plants and those vegetables of the nutrition that they need to grow, to nurture us as well, that we can do this together. As Father Greg Boyle put it, there is no us and them. It's just us. And that's true when we think about a spiritual community like Unity of Centralia, or a county, or a state, or a nation, or a globe, a world of people, that it's just us. We're all in this together. And we are at such an exciting time right now because we have a wonderful opportunity of resolving our difficulties and our problems without violence, and finding a way through this mess that we continue to create as people. So let's do that by being peaceful. I really believe, and I've worked with this for over 50 years, that finding peace in the world requires us finding peace within ourselves first, and on. So I invite you to join me by turning within, take a deep breath. And as you let it out, relax, and all of the concept, the ideas, all of the words, all of the images, just let them go. You can pick them up at the door. Just take a breath, keep breathing deeply, and relax. And I invite you to invite God into your life. However you relate to God, whatever your idea of your master is, welcome into your heart. Welcome the love into your heart. And welcome the joy. Welcome the peace. This love and joy and peace cannot be manufactured, cannot be imagined to make it real, but it can happen as we welcome the divine presence. Into us where it's always been. To awaken to the peace of God. To awaken to the joy of God. And to awaken to the love of God. And we know that this is not just for us to have for ourselves, but it is for us to share. So let us open our hearts and, like a radiant light, like a lighthouse, as it were, to let shine the love, the joy, and the peace of God, to bless others in our life, in our world, our friends, our family, people we know about, people we don't know. To bring blessings to the world, love and joy and peace. Because after all, there's just us. And so when you're ready, come back. We give thanks for this beautiful day, for all the flowers and the birds, all the people, all the goodness, the rain and the sunshine, friends and family.
Thank you, John, for everything you had to say and for bringing it all home in the meditation. That was wonderful. Thank you so much. We value you.
Thank you.
It's time for our offering now. And we want to thank everyone who has donated to Unity by mail. And we appreciate any checks that are sent to the church at 800 South Pearl Street in Centralia, 98531. And it's also possible to donate on at the website. That is all working beautifully now. And thank you also for the ways that you give of your time and talent. Let's say our offering prayer together. Divine love, through me, blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, all that I receive, and all that I am. And our blessing of thanks, we bless these gifts and send them forth to heal, bless, and prosper. They are evidence of our faith and belief. They do good work in the world and return to us multiplied abundantly, and so it is. And I would like to add some other words of gratitude. Johnny has just recently updated our member directory, and we thank him for that. Also, some faces that we love but can't see on Zoom, you might look those folks up on that directory and send them a little word of greeting, a card. We know that Hildy's address, her room number, has been updated. And think of the other folks who haven't been with us on Zoom. We still value them and let them know that we're thinking about them, and soon we'll welcome them back. Also, I'm grateful for Irene sending out the information this week, and she will be doing that for the next 3 months in Joanne's absence. So thank you, Irene. And it is now time for our healing prayer. If you would like to focus our collective group healing energy for someone, just speak out their name or hold them quietly in your hearts. We are continuing with ongoing prayers for the people of Ukraine and the surrounding countries that are helping with humanitarian aid and taking in refugees. May peace prevail in Eastern Europe, and may peace prevail on Earth. Karen Merker has requested your healing prayers for her sister, Debbie, who is having surgery on Tuesday. So please keep her in mind. Our friend Vern is continuing to heal the infection in his leg, and we wish him the best and look forward to seeing him back in church. And John, who is in church, as he deals with his medical situation, we see him healed, whole, and healthy. And let's send our traveling prayers to Joanne as she travels to Western Australia to be with her family for the next 3 months. And I can't wait. Let's see, I could change my view here. Are there any other? Tom.
Hi, I'd like to keep my 14-year-old granddaughter in your prayers. She's going through some mental health issues, and we would like to see her in the light of knowledge and growth.
Thank you, Tom. Are there any other prayer requests? All right. Beloved Mother, Father, God, we ask for the highest and greatest good for all, and endeavor to see them through your eyes, knowing all is in divine order. Amen. And our prayer of protection, let's say that together. The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well. And now we will sing our peace song. And thank you, Joyce, for leading us in this.
Thank you.
oh, you people are such good learners. You didn't even need my cue to circle up to get ready for that song. Very, very well done. Okay, I would like to thank everybody who made this service possible. John Wingfield, thank you so much. We always love it when you come to join us. And Joyce, thank you so much for the music. And Hallie for your reading. And Penny for the great slides. And Tom for getting things hooked up there at church. And for all of you for being here. Thank you so much. And next week, we will welcome Dr. Daria Funches. And in the meantime, you all have a great week and you can unmute and chat with each other now.